I'm sure the thought of using the words principals and politicians in the same sentence, especially when we're talking about influence strategies from Washington, D.C., seems a little odd. We hear of some new scandal every day. In fact, in polls of the most trustworthy professions in America, lobbyists and politicians inevitably rank last. Yet the most effective lobbyists in Washington, D.C. sleep at night. You may not understand how, especially those who work on issues with which you disagree, but they do. Sure, there are those who cheat their clients, give advice that they know is bad, or even break the law by trying, whether successfully or not, to buy members of Congress. Over the long term, however, these lobbyists simply do not accomplish as much as those who abide by the positive principles of influence outlined in this audiobook. If you think about it, when and if the unprincipled lobbyists wind up in jail, they aren't really being all that effective. Let's look at the example of a notorious lobbyist you may have heard of, Jack Abramoff. He's the one who went to prison for 3.5 years for corruption of public officials, among other things. Before we get into this example, because I'm an ethical person, I must disclose that I once worked at a law firm where, several years after I left, Abramoff would become a partner. The firm, then called Preston Gates & Ellis, was implicated in some of his egregious activities. That said, my only direct interaction with him was in a room in the company of about 100 other people. Despite the fact that he and I had no personal connection other than this brief encounter, when the details of the scandal were coming out, my parents called frequently to ask, "Have you been subpoenaed yet?" To which my answer was, "Do you know what subpoenaed means? 'Cause it's not good." I was never subpoenaed. But I did learn at least one important thing in reviewing what happened. In the long run, Jack Abramoff was not a good lobbyist in any sense of the word. Sure, initially he had some success extracting large sums from various interests, such as online casinos and Native American tribes, in exchange for influencing Congress to pass or not pass bills favorable to those clients. He lied, he cheated, he bought access, and he bribed. But did he achieve anything? Perhaps here and there he won some small victories, but a review of some of his policy efforts shows that a version of the online gambling legislation his clients sought to defeat in 1999 was passed in 2006. Language to support the Tigua tribe that he bribed Congressman Bob Ney to insert into legislation never passed. He failed to persuade Congress to reopen several Native American casinos, and eventually his efforts to keep the Northern Mariana Islands from being subjected to federal minimum wage laws failed. Oh, and he, his partner, and several other people associated with the scandal went to prison. And did I mention the $1.7 million he owes to the Internal Revenue Service? In his autobiography, Capital Punishment, Abramoff claims that he saved his clients millions of dollars by preventing the passage of certain harmful new taxes and restrictive policies. It's hard to say, though, whether these things would have passed anyway, particularly because Republicans, a party not likely to support many of the taxes and other policy issues Abramoff lobbied against, were in control of both the House of Representatives and the Senate almost the entire time, with the exception of the 2001-2002 term when Democrats barely held on to an evenly divided Senate.